Welcome to the Creating Wealth Simplified podcast. My name is Lauren Wells, here with my co-host, Chris Seveny. We're committed to providing you with the knowledge required to build wealth through real estate investing. Tired of consuming content about real estate? Stuck in analysis paralysis? Ready to do your first deal? As a member of our community, you will learn how to go from consuming content to taking that first step into the world of real estate investing. Our show is not about getting rich quick, but about providing you with the knowledge you need to take action. Join us as we speak with experienced investors who share action tips on how to escape the corporate world, start a thriving side hustle in the world of real estate, and go beyond your W-2 or 401k. Welcome, everybody, to the Creating Wealth Simplified podcast, where each week we bring you education and information that will help you take your next step in building wealth through real estate. I'm your host, Lauren Wells, and joining me today is Mike DeHaan. Mike actually quit his W-2 a few years ago with no plan, tried a bunch of businesses, then got into flipping houses and rental properties to chase passive income. He started out as a seller, wholesale business, the beginning of 2020, which again, not that long ago, to buy better deals. Now he owns 50 rental units, valuing about $10 million in real estate. And he makes more passive income now than he did at his W-2 job as a Boeing engineer. So welcome, Mike. Thanks for joining us today. Yeah, I think something that resonated with me when I was like looking at your bio and everything is like, wow, 2020 wasn't that long ago. I think like we talked about a little bit earlier, great time to start, maybe not a great time to start. So can you talk about what went into when you left? Why'd you leave your W-2? I guess we'll start there.
Yeah. So that is always the kind of key focal point, I guess, in my story, that I did things backwards from how most people view it or expect to do it themselves.
Yeah.
So I grew up pretty traditionally, went to high school, went to college. When I was in college, I didn't really know what I wanted to do. And I went into engineering, mostly because I started college in 2009. The economy was terrible. And the first job fair, I went to Gonzaga University here in Spokane. And typically they have high recruiting rate with jobs. It's pretty decent school. And I went to the first job fair and there was like 7 companies there. That was it. And they were all looking for engineers. So I was like, well, cool. I guess I'm going to be an engineer then. Like, I was good at math and science and I wanted to be able to get employed. So struggled through school, kind of hated it, and like was always led with, when I start working, I'll like it better. Of course, it's not how it works. So I went into the workforce. I first started at a consulting company while I was there for a short span. And then I got a job at Boeing, which was kind of like the dream job, I guess. Very high tech, super cushy. You have all the good benefits. They have like a 2-week Christmas break, like everything that you could possibly want for like a traditional corporate job.
Yeah.
And I'll always remember the first day I walked into the facility I was working into. I was so excited and pull up, go through like, go park. I go and walk through like the huge composite manufacturing facility I was working in, go up to the office. And I get up to the office and it is dead silent, like just cubicle form as far as the eye can see. And I was like, oh no, I've made a grave error. This is not for me at all. I just signed a general contract. I was into this job. And so I was stuck there for a little bit. And while I was there, I hated every second of it. If I'm being honest, like I never really had anything that I enjoyed. I guess the one thing I did enjoy about it was seeing the airplane manufacturing process is very fascinating, but the actual day-to-day work was terrible. And while I was there, I started getting into like financial independence, passive income. I started listening to podcasts and reading blogs and that sort of stuff. And then finally, after a few years of that, I just said, I want to pursue this with my Boeing job, just like absolutely draining me. I do not have the bandwidth to try and pursue it on the side. And so I decided I'm kind of done with this. I've been saving money to pursue like lean fire or whatever, and I decided to just jump and figure out what would happen next. So yeah, in January of 2018, I quit engineering. There's a couple other steps that sort of went on in the middle there, but I'll cut to it. January 2018, I quit engineering and decided that I was going to do literally anything else. And from there, there's a bunch of other stuff before I started buying houses, but I can go into more detail with all
of that. Yeah, love to see kind of what went in between you quitting and you starting to buy houses. Like, what was that period filled with?
Yeah. So when I first left, my thought was I wanted to go back to school and get into physical therapy. So I've always had a interest in health and fitness. I competed at a high level in Olympic weightlifting recreationally for years. And I was coaching that kind of as like a moonlight job while I was at Boeing. So I said, cool, I would like to make that what I do full time.
Yeah.
I went and got a job at a PT clinic, did that for a month and was like, wow, this is even worse than engineering, just because it's like insurance farm where you're churning people through and you're not actually helping people. So what I did is I spent the next year, I worked at a gym as a coach and I drove for Uber. And that was what I did while I just dabbled in different things, started reading a lot of business books. Me and my wife, we decided to take a little bit of dip into our savings that we had set aside for our emergency fund. And we went to New Zealand. We traveled around for a month, I guess, to like find myself or whatever. And that helped me solidify that I wanted to have a lifestyle where I could take trips like that more often. And that became the goal, was how can I create a business? I didn't know what that was going to be. How can I create a business that would allow me to have that freedom of time and that ability to travel, that ability to kind of do what I wanted? I read a lot of books, wealth generation, passive income generation, real estate comes up in everything that you read. And so finally I was like, cool, how do I make real estate like the thing? I didn't have a real estate background. I didn't want to do renovations on properties. And so that sort of like led into it a little bit.
Awesome. Yeah. So you didn't go directly from I quit my job to real estate. And something I think people who are maybe an exiting college or looking for their first job is intern or go like job shadow someone to see, because I feel like you think you want to do something, or you're like, oh, if I'm an engineer, like it'll be better once I'm out of engineering school. Or I wanted to go be an attorney when I first started out. Luckily, I went through the LSAT class. I was like, I absolutely think I would love law school, but I think I would hate being an attorney. I feel like what you did going in like kind of for the PT, kind of seeing like, oh, wow, this is not what I thought of when I thought, oh, I'm going to go do what my passion is. So love that. And then I feel like there's a couple of themes. There's like something you said in the beginning was this isn't the way most people do it, but I would disagree. I feel like there's two types of people. And I think it all depends on like your responsibilities that you have currently, maybe personality type, but there's people that will leave it all and have to do that in order to commit and not feel like they have this safety net to fall back on and are just super committed to whatever that next play is. And then there's people that can build both. I am definitely the former. So I resonate with you, but I know that there's people who can do both. Okay. So you went into real estate, you read all the books, you did all the things. How did you decide to go into like flipping and wholesaling and all of that? Or what was your first step and how did you decide that?
Yeah. So originally, all I knew was that I did not want to do renovations, right? That's what I said to myself.
No,
and I was like, yeah. And I was like, I've never used a power tool. Like I had never like swung a hammer at the time. And I was uneducated. So I didn't understand that you could hire a contractor for that. I was like, man, if I'm going to flip a house, I got to learn to install kitchen cabinets. I don't want to do that.
Yeah.
So what I did is I was like, cool, I want passive income. That was my goal.
Yeah.
And so I started looking at rental properties that were nearby and I wanted to find stuff that was easy. So it was actually, it was in the neighborhood, some area nearby where my wife and I lived. There were these new construction homes that were going up. And I started doing the math and I was like, oh, this is like a great neighborhood. If I buy these for the price that they want, the mortgage payment is going to be like $1,100, probably be able to rent them for like $1,600 or $1,700. Like I'm going to make like $1,500 a month or like whatever, like $1,000, you know, $1,100, just like that. It's going to be so easy. So I liquidated my corporate 401k.
Let me pause there for a second, because I am similar to you pretty much. And maybe because my parents were self-employed. So the whole company 401k was a very new concept to me. I had my tech, worked in tech, and I liquidated mine. And I feel like it was very much the unpopular opinion. But today, that investment has paid dividends in valuation of the property. So I think it's really interesting and another not super popular thing to do. But I think for the audience listening, your 401k is definitely a great investment and to each their own. But I always look at something like, is there something that it can do more? If I'm pulling it out, is there a better investment that I'm making and putting it into? I'm not saying pull it out because you want to go on a trip, but if you can pull it out and have a good reason for why, I think it totally makes sense. Okay. I thought that was super interesting. So continue. Yeah.
No, it's valid. And you're right. It was a very unpopular opinion when I did it. And I talked to so many people that were like, but the taxes and the penalties.
Yeah.
And I was like, honestly, for me, it was like a middle finger to the corporate world because I hated it so much. It was like the last remaining thing, especially because of how the Boeing corporate 401k was structured. I couldn't transfer it to another IRA provider. I had to keep it there.
Oh,
okay. So I would always get these correspondence from Boeing in my inbox and I would always get like these letters. I was so salty with it. I honestly just wanted that to stop.
Yeah.
So I made kind of a rash decision, but also too, I wanted to get into these properties. And I couldn't sacrifice the kind of the safety net that my wife and I put together, because at that point, I wasn't really making money. In 2017, I think I made $130,000, right? Like just me with my wife's salary on top of that. In 2018, when I was working for Uber and I was a coach, I made like 17 grand. right? Yeah. So my salary literally reduced 90%. And I could not like take my safety net, put it into these properties. And I had this 401k. Yeah. So I said, this is where that money needs to come from. So I axed it, got into these rental properties. The mortgage payment was about what I expected. Threw them up on the market for $1,700. Of course, nobody wants them. The price too high. It was a pipe dream. I ended up leasing them for a few hundred dollars less than that. And then I realized, oh, well, I have property management, right? If I want to do that, I have vacancies. Like, I have these months where it's not getting filled. I learned that apparently you're supposed to have reserves for these sort of things. It wasn't even on my radar, right? Because I was just, I don't know, taking massive action, trying to figure it out afterwards. Yeah. So that ate a huge chunk of my capital, but I was still having a little bit of money coming in. So it started to give me the bug. So I was like, how can I use this model to produce more income? I hear about people flipping houses. How could I potentially do this where I'm going to partner with people? At this point, I was kind of bought into real estate. So I'm like, I've never swung a hammer. I guess time that I learned. But I started going to meetups, and you go to meetups long enough, you become a face that people sort of recognize. You talk about having goals and ambitions. And I connected with somebody who was, I would say, equally ignorant to the process. They had money. I had time. And I was like, cool, let's start flipping some houses. So we started flipping houses together. And basically they would bring the cash. It's like the definition of using other people's money. They'd bring the cash. We'd go get a hard money loan together. I would do the project and then we split the deal 50-50. And that was ultimately how I got started in the off-market real estate process. That was late 2018, early 2019 range. 2019, we flipped four properties. The first property took us 4 months and I made $4,500. Lots of lessons learned there on what not to do. It was a very low income per hour education. And each one, we just got a little bit better, a little bit better, a little bit better. And then by the end of the year, 2019, I had become sort of like a regular buyer, or I was regularly inquiring about properties from wholesalers. Yeah. So there was the larger wholesaler in town decided he was going to have a meetup for like the cool kids, I guess, where he brought like all of the more serious folks out to do like a meetup. It was mostly to build his buyers list to all those sort of things. But I met all the people that I had been buying from or inquiring from in person. And I was like, these guys aren't that much smarter than me. I'm pretty sure that I could do what they do. And so that was like November 2019. I decided I was going to be a wholesaler. I started getting into the off-market game at that point.
Okay. And so you entered wholesaling right before COVID. Mm-hmm. How, like, let's talk about that. I made the, prior to starting to record, I was like, oh, probably the best time to get into it. And you're like, or not. So like, tell me about that. Tell me about kind of some of the pros and cons to starting your wholesaling business. And then 3 months, 4 months later, the world definitely drastically shifting. Property values also skyrocketed. So
they did. Yeah. And they skyrocketed. 2021 really was when stuff started to get weird. So we'd already been operating. Yeah. So going into 2020, when I decided I was going to do this, it was about Thanksgiving. I had my business partner who was my best friend from college. And he had a strong interest in real estate. He owned a couple of rentals. He had money. I did not. And so basically the arrangement was like, hey, I'll figure out how to do this thing if you can help seed fund it.
Yeah.
And so we decided to go into this endeavor together. We joined a mastermind that sort of helped us build the foundation of our business that is still the core of what we run today. And we're still actively involved in that group too. That's been honestly our best dollar for dollar investment that we've ever made. So we joined that to start getting the momentum going.
Do you mind mentioning whose mastermind?
Yeah. So it was Ryan Dossey. He has a group called Create Cash Flow. He's big on Instagram and those sort of things. And he's one of the few folks out there, I think, who legitimately practices what he preaches.
Love that.
But yeah, it's been a really great program. I would recommend to people that are interested in getting into this. So yeah, we built up the foundation for it. We started marketing off market in February of 2020. I will always remember the first day that like our mail and stuff started hitting, because we didn't have like our system tracked, like set up fully to receive phone calls.
Yeah.
So my phone was just like blowing up like every hour or every couple of hours from people that were so pissed off that we were marketing. Oh. And everyone, like, no one wanted anything to do with us, like F you, all this sort of stuff, just like you normally get. Anyone that's done off-market real estate, you know what I'm talking about.
Yep.
And the crazy thing was, I remember me and my business, we were so excited. We're like, it actually worked. People are calling us. Like, there has to be somebody in here that wants to sell their deal. So that was February. When again in March, we sent out our next batch of mail. We spent $5,000. It was on like March 12th, right before the world shut down. And so we sent $5,000, went out, literally didn't get a single call to flush that down the toilet. That was a big issue. And at that point, I remember me and my business partner sitting in a coffee shop. It was like right before everything like fully closed. And it was like kind of the last day before they were like, okay, all restaurants, everything are closed.
Yeah.
And he was like, I think we're done. And I'm like, no, dude, like just keep putting the money in. We'll figure it out. And so we decided to go all in. And with COVID, it was always an interesting situation, right? Because you couldn't do what everyone says, where you go meet people in person, you build rapport like that. So it was a lot of stuff over the phone. It was a lot of learning how to do due diligence from your house. And it was very challenging to learn because there weren't a lot of people that were teaching that yet. But honestly, I think it was extremely beneficial in the long term because it's allowed us to build the fully virtual business that we have now because we were forced to.
Yeah.
So then we did that. It took us about 4 months and $30,000 worth of spend before we finally got our first deal. So we were in the hole pretty big. The first deal we...
super important to note too. And I know you said this before. One, I think going back, mentioning like, I only made $17,000. Like I wasn't quitting my job and breaking cash immediately. So I think that's important. And then right here to say like you, again, you put a lot of cash into it before you started seeing a deal come through or a potential deal.
Yeah. And for timeline on this for two. So from when I left my corporate job at Boeing to when I signed my first wholesale deal was 2.5 years. Right. So it's a very long period of time. It's early 2019 to the middle of 2020. Yeah. So we finally were $30,000 in the hole. We got our first deal. We had a buyer that we had been expecting to sell stuff to. We're trying to get a $15,000 fee. The guy beat us down, said, I can only do $7,500. We're like, that's fine. We'll take it. Here's the deal. The guy proceeded to vacuum the carpet, throw it on the market, $85,000. So we had a big lesson learned there of making sure that we're analyzing opportunities. But anyway, so we went through over the next couple of months. That was in like June. Next couple of months, we did a few more deals. And then in October, we had our first six-figure month, all for wholesale deals. I'll remember the October 31st is my birthday. I turned 30 and my parents were out for my 30th birthday, hanging out with them. And I remember sitting with them and I was like, I think my life has officially changed. Like we just made like $114,000 in a month. That's more as what I used to make as an engineer in a year. Yeah, we just made that in a month. And there's no way that I can explain that to anyone that's here because it is was such like a surreal feeling.
Yeah.
And we took that money, we piled it into the business, and we have scaled pretty significantly since then.
We hope you're enjoying this episode of Creating Wealth Simplified. We wanted to take a moment and tell you more about our passive income fund at 7E, which is open to both accredited and non-accredited investors. Our latest offering targets an 8% annual return distributed monthly with the ability to potentially achieve a greater return through our bonus share program. If you'd like more information, reach out to us at invest@70investments.com to learn more. Thank you.
Two things that come into play with real estate. You need deals and you need capital. And there are people out there who are the deal bringers and the work behind it. And there's the people who are the capital. And then you have a combo of both, obviously, and some people. But I love that you partnered with someone and you have that strategic partnership that benefited you both. He had the capital, you had the knowledge to make this work. And so I think that is something that when people are looking to get into it, like know that you don't have to do it all alone. You're probably not going to be able to do it all alone. And you're better if you can find a good counterpart to work with you.
Yeah. It was actually a she that I partnered with at the start.
Oh, nice.
I just like to give credit there because
it's
such a male dominated business.
It is.
She was awesome. Yeah.
I want her on the podcast.
I have lost contact with her. I should see if I
can. Oh, okay. That's awesome. Yeah. And I think something that you, again, it's how do I explain this to people? You obviously all the hard work and everything, that's how it happened. But when it happens, when something like that happens, you have that record-breaking month. It's like your aha moment. Like, I can't go back. Yeah. Obviously, you were committed 2.5 years committed in to get like your first deal. Once you really have that moment of like, wow, this is, will change my life. Yeah. It's how do you explain that to people?
Yeah. Yeah. It's super weird. Right. And then also too, when it's only happened once, you don't know if it's a fluke or not. And we were very intentional about when we said we made that money, we were going to be disciplined about not taking draws because we had a bigger picture.
Yeah.
So our goals were always to buy doors, right? Wealth generation was the ultimate goal with this thing.
Yep.
We already recognized that you can produce a bunch of revenue from wholesaling flipping. You're going to get wrecked by taxes. That's not going to lead to the freedom that we both wanted. And so I guess I'll say when we got into the off-market real estate, our goal was not to buy, was not to wholesale. It was to buy discounted properties and do the Burr method. Right. But once we got into that, especially when COVID happened, financing got really weird. And all of a sudden, the turn rate on Burr properties was long. So we would get these opportunities that came in that we literally couldn't take down. So we'll start wholesaling those. And as we built out that process, ultimately, we went to the properties that we don't want, we'll just wholesale those ones and then we'll keep the stuff that we like. So for us, that's like A-class single families and multifamilies. So that's what we built our portfolio in. And because we were wholesaling such a large volume, the turn rate on that money is so quick. Like we would make 50% of what we could have made if we flipped it, but it would take 3 weeks instead of 4 months.
Yeah.
Right. So the velocity of your money is extremely high. And we would wholesale all these properties and we would just dump more of those into rental properties. So that allowed us to build a lot of the wealth and success that I now carry into this period where the market has kind of turned versus like, I know a lot of people, especially in 2021, they were just wholesaling everything. You could get a lead on a cardboard box sitting on the corner and you could sell that to somebody.
I'm in California. Yes, you probably could. And for like a crazy amount.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So, but yeah, so that was kind of our model. And then, so going forward, 2021, we started scale. We did, I think it was 58 deals. I personally had my first 6-7 figure year in 2021 after making $18,000 3 years before that. We bought a ton of our properties that year. We benefited very greatly from the market. Like I can't lie about that. We definitely did. Yeah. And then going into 2022, our plans were to try and scale outside of our local market because we had saturated it. We measured all of our KPIs and we were at a phase where the dollars that were going into marketing were leading to lesser and lesser return. So we said, cool, how can we start doing this in Midwest markets and other places? Yeah. So we started doing that and had some good success. And then as that started to build, we started to get recognition and traction from other investors. And that led to a big part of our business now, which is a vertical integration with our wholesaling business, which is essentially a wholesale for hire. So it is a marketing and sales business where if you want to find off-market deals in your market, but you don't want to do any of the back work, you hire us, we come and we launch a branch in your market, and then you pay us a monthly fee to run it. We get a very small portion of the deals and then you get all of the upside. But we run your data, your marketing, your sales, everything before the signed contract we are in charge of. And ultimately, you can just have a turnkey business that launches in a couple of weeks instead of doing what we did and spending 6 months trying to figure it out.
And that sounds like perfect for someone who doesn't want to leave their day job, has the money to pay you to do all that up front. So again, you're kind of capitalizing on like, hey, I'm really good at like doing the work and knowing what needs to be done. I've like have this great system. Finding the people who are stuck in their day job, don't love it, but can't leave, but have the money, but want to leave, and then they find you. So one question I want to back up a little. When you decided to expand outside your current like area, your market, which is where you were familiar with, where you live, what were your criteria when you were looking?
Yeah. So one of our criteria has kind of always been, we try to find a hot market and go to a tertiary area. So for example, if you're going to go to, I'm trying to think of what would be an example that everybody might know. Say you're going to go to Austin, Texas.
Okay.
Very hot market, right? Everyone knows that.
Yep.
If I said, I'm going to go and try to wholesale in Austin, Texas, everyone's like, that's crazy. Like, no way you're going to do that. If I say, hey, I'm actually starting up a wholesale operation in Round Rock. Okay. Round Rock is about 20 minutes from downtown Austin.
Yeah.
So what happens is you start targeting there. And so we try to find these little pockets of areas that are close enough to key hot areas where there will be a strong interest, but not so on the map that like everyone that's ever listened to a Bigger Pockets episode is going to go there.
Yeah.
Right. So same with like Nashville. I forget the names of the places over Nashville, but we'll do in Knoxville. So like instead of Knoxville, we do like Naperville and some of these other little towns that are like out of it. Right. Or we started doing some stuff in Chicago. We started working in some of the suburbs, Aurora and Fairfield and these different areas that no one's ever heard of because they're like an hour away from Chicago, 45 minutes away. But people that are buyers there that are going to be our end buyers, they're like, oh yeah, I'll buy a house in Aurora. That sounds great. But you don't have all the other virtual wholesalers that are trying to get deals there. And the great thing is too, there are a ton more markets like that versus like the key market.
Key market. Yeah. Right?
So I always go on these shows and people are like, you're just giving away your markets. I'm like, there's tons of them. Like there's tertiary markets everywhere. And there's like 100 million houses in the United States. Yeah. There's tons of opportunity.
What would you say are starting out some of the things you had wished you had done differently?
One of the things I wish I had done differently was focused more, especially when we started, was focused more on the sales and the rapport building side of the business. That's honestly a reason that we struggled to start was both me and my partner were both engineering minded. We would go into these different opportunities. We're focused on the house. We're a real estate business. We want to talk about the house. So we're going to walk in with this seller. We're going to be like, yeah, so, you know, we're going to have to do the kitchen. Like we got to fix the mold in the bathroom, get all those sort of things. This is why we can only offer you $130,000 for your $200,000 house. We did not talk to the seller about how her husband just died. right? About how her kid has a drug addiction and needs to get bailed out of jail. About how she has a health problem and she can't pay the absorbent health bills, right? Those are the things that get deals in the off-market space, right? And so what we would find is we were regularly losing out to people that were having those challenging conversations and that were focused not on the deal, but on helping the individual that inquired. Because ultimately, wholesaling real estate, it is not a real estate business. It is a marketing and sales business and is a solutions business, right? And so much time goes into helping the individuals that are involved. Like we say distressed sellers and people that aren't distressed, they see that as taking advantage of people. Honestly, the stuff that we do, the people that we assist, most of the time they are in such a bind that it's not that they don't have any other options. Like they could go get a lawyer and those sort of things. They don't have the means to, they don't have the education to. And so we spend an incredible amount of time just helping people with their dirty laundry.
Yeah. Right?
And we didn't approach stuff at the beginning with that mentality. And when we made that shift, it was honestly a big way that a big time that lots of started to change.
Yeah. I mean, we buy distressed mortgage notes. So you similar situation, like, and our goal is to work with the borrower to keep them in the property. And a lot of the times, like you said, they don't have the means, time, or wherewithal to go and figure out how to get out of their current situation. And larger institutions, I always say, in the business of creating debt, not really managing the debt. So we find that we're able to go to them. And yeah, we get a discount on the note, of course. That's why we're in this business. But we're able to work with them and say, hey, we can make something work for both of us, like make it a win-win. So I do think, yeah, it is. The whole business from finding the deals, sourcing the deals, working on the deals really stems from that ability to have good sales and marketing or build rapport, essentially.
Yep, exactly.
Yeah.
And a lot of people, especially when they start this, talk to a lot of people that are like contractors or they're realtors and they're doing certain things and they want to get into this side of the business and they're not willing to put in the time to sit with the seller at their coffee table and talk about the problems that are going on. They're not willing to spend the time to talk to their attorney to figure out why the probate situation is such a mess. Or we've had to do things like there's four next of kin. We're only talking to one. The other three aren't even around. We have to discover that two of them are dead. The other one now lives in West Virginia. We have to go track her down on Facebook, talk to her about the situation, convince her that it's not a scam and to call the title company and convince to go through all this stuff. Like, honestly, we do these things all the time. There's so much detective work. And that's why we're able to make such good money is because there's a process to it, right? Every deal is different. But that's also why we can make, like on a house where a realtor isn't going to be bothered because you're going to make like $4,000. We can have that same deal and we're going to make $40,000.
Yeah.
Right? Because there's a lot more of a challenge that goes into getting each one done.
So let me ask you this, because obviously we're in a much different economic climate than we were when you were entering kind of real estate and getting started. If you were to lose it all today or start over today, you left your job, say, what would be your play now? Having that real estate background, would it still be wholesaling? Would you look into a different avenue? Kind of what would be your play in this time, in this environment, but with your knowledge?
So it would be the same thing. I guess my plans for my action strategies would be a little bit different.
Okay.
So when I started, the whole philosophy was, if you find a deal, buyers will find you. So true. Like back in 2019, 2020, that was absolutely the case. If you had a deal, people would raise their hand. Now with interest rates being weird, you've had some people that have gotten bit by some projects. The real estate bug has kind of faded. You kind of need to do things backwards. So you need to connect with those. I guess what I always tell people, and we have some group coaching stuff that we do. We always coach people, if you don't know what to do, find your good buyers first, right? Find the people that are still flipping markets in the turned over economy. Find the good realtors with a lot of investor clients and negotiate your deals based off of what they're looking for. Mm-hmm. That eliminates a lot of the risk and the guesswork from signing stuff around and not being able to find a buyer. So that's like how I would focus on this business. But the core of it, I would do the same, because what we've built and the whole marketing sales process is an extremely valuable asset, whether you want to wholesale or not. Like if you want to syndicate multifamily properties, you can use the same processes. If you want to buy distressed notes, I'm sure there's very similar stuff that we could do to target distressed note holders, honestly. I mean, it's probably a little bit more complicated because you have to work with the institutions. There's ways that you can identify properties so you know which institutions to talk to, right? And learning how to build a marketing and sales funnel like that is extremely valuable in everyone's real estate business and is something that you should absolutely consider including in some capacity.
focusing less on just the specific deal and more on the business aspect of it, I think is something that people like, exactly. Instead of focusing on how am I going to get this property? How am I going to make my return? How am I going to get that passive income? There's so much more that goes into getting to that point. So I think it's great that you highlight that. So I always like to ask this question at the end of the podcast. If you were to give our listeners a piece of advice who are looking to get started, maybe they've consumed 10,000 hours of content from podcasts, Bigger Pockets, books, all that. They have a day job. They don't have a day job, but they're looking to get started. What would you say would be like your number one action step you would take or tell them to take?
I'd tell them to find a coach. Honestly, if they are somebody that like they're educated and they're having issues pulling the trigger, find a coach, find someone to keep you accountable. And when I say find a coach, like don't go to one of those things where they like bring you on a conference room and they're like, I'm going to take your credit card right here. Like, that's nonsense. Find people out there, and they have them for every niche, that you feel like you vibe with as a person, you like the style of business that they're running and you want to be like them. And even if they don't offer coaching, reach out to them and see if they would be willing to help you out. Because here's something else too. People that have public sphere, like a public persona they put out, even if they don't offer coaching, they are doing that because they want you to interact with them. Don't be afraid to reach out to people. Even now I get people, it's like my podcast has started to grow and everyone always DMs me and they're like, I'm so sorry for bothering you. I'm like, do you think that I am doing this because I don't want you to interact with me? It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. Don't bother me. I'm putting myself out there. Yeah. So don't talk to me.
Yeah. It doesn't make any sense. So
that's a good point that no one's ever brought up, but it's so true. Like yeah. I always go on these podcasts and I'm like, here's my email, reach out directly. Like I wouldn't be on a podcast if I didn't want to communicate with people or hear if someone has a question. Like that's what we're, yeah.
Yeah, especially in like the real estate space. It's not like I'm an Instagram model trying to, I don't know, get likes. Like I don't have the face for that. Like it's not how it works. And a lot of real estate people, if they're putting the time into creating any sort of
presence,
you know, presence that they're on your radar, reach out to them and see how you could potentially do some stuff together. So especially like the analysis paralysis folks, I think that is a great way to kind of get over that hump. And a lot of people, they get into that, especially now where there's so much real estate education content out there.
Yeah.
There's so many people that are professionals at real estate, but they haven't done anything. And it's because they haven't been pushed off the ledge yet.
Yeah, no, 100%. I love that. Well, thank you so much for joining us. If people wanted to reach out or connect with you, how would they do that?
Yeah. So I have my own show. It's called the Collecting Keys Podcast. So you should definitely go and give that a listen. We do like 3 shows a week. So we do interviews on Monday. And then on Wednesday, we do me and my business partner, like talking shop, just talking
Chris
more
and about I were talking about you guys. Whoa. For those listening, 3 podcasts a week is like next level. Like you guys are turning, like, I remember he was like, yeah, he does one, his business partner does one, and then they do one together. And I was like, every week. Wow. Like, bravo. Definitely go give that a listen, you guys. That's some good work.
Yeah. Well, thank you. If you want to know the secret is to like get ahead of your interviews, right? So we batch like a ton of them over like 2 weeks, which pushes out a couple months. And it's a lot easier to maintain going into the future. Collecting Keys is the name of that podcast. You can go and find it anywhere you listen to podcasts. And besides that, the best way to connect with me directly is on Instagram. It's just at Mike_invest. One of my goals this year was to do 300 Instagram posts. So I'm really doing my best to try and make regular content.
How many are you at now?
So I've missed a total of, I think like 11 days for the year.
Okay.
So however many that is.
You heard it here, folks. Got a lot to go.
I am. Yeah. I'm counting the days I miss. It's counting the 65 easier than counting the 300.
Of course.
But yeah, shoot me a DM on there. I'm always happy to chat with people. And seriously, don't apologize if you DM me. Like I'm doing this because I want you to reach out. So.
Awesome. Well, thank you again, Mike, for joining us. And thank you everyone for tuning in to this episode of the CWS podcast. If you enjoyed the show, share it with a friend, subscribe, reach out to us. Or leave a review. Until next time, thank you.
Cool. Thanks, Lauren.
Thank you for joining Lauren and I on this episode of the Creating Wealth Simplified podcast. Each week, we bring you expert education, experience, and information in a digestible format to help you identify investment opportunities so you can build wealth through real estate and take action toward your financial goals. Enjoy the show. Share with a friend or subscribe to the show and leave us a review.